Good evening. Really appreciate your prayers. I'm quite a ways out of my comfort zone. But the Lord's been talking to me and out of my comfort zone, but I do want to be faithful to the Lord. I would say that the thought that the Lord's given me is almost a continuation, in a way, of the message that my mother gave last night, which I appreciated very much. I'd like to turn to Song of Solomon. It's a book that in times past I wondered why it was in the Bible. But it's such a beautiful book, and the allegories are so strong of the beautiful relationship that the Lord wants to have with each one of us. It talks about a beautiful marriage relationship, which we know that the Lord gave us to illustrate what kind of relationship He wanted to have with us and with His church. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so there are lessons to be learned from this book. If we go to the fourth chapter, I'd like to read a few verses there, and then maybe we'll turn over to the second chapter. In the fourth chapter and the 12th verse, I really desire your prayers this evening. I'm very dependent on the Lord. And fourth chapter and the 12th verse, it says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard, spikenard and saffron, calamus, cinnamon, and all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Beautiful language, don't you agree? This is something that's describing a beautiful relationship between a husband and his wife. And we heard last night the God's design for every one of us. No one's exempt from the love and the mercies of God. God wants every one of us to have, you know, when He created the world and He put man in the Garden of Eden, everything that He created, He looked on it and He said it was good. And He didn't just make it good for Him, but He made it good for you and for me, for His people. And He wanted to come down. He came down in the cool of the evening and He would have communion with Adam and with Eve. And then we know what happened. It was broken, but that was not the end. God had a plan. He wanted to restore that communion again. He wanted there to be a sweet fellowship between Himself and mankind. He put the two trees in the middle of the garden. You ever thought about why He put them right there in the very center? Because how can you have a love relationship when there is not an absolute choice of free will? I want to serve Him, and so I'm going to do everything that He wants me to do. I'm not going to do anything He doesn't want me to do. And when the evening time comes, I'm going to be there ready when He comes to talk to me. But there was one evening where the Lord had to say, Adam, where are you? And He knew where he was. But Adam was hiding because he had breached that relationship by an act of his own free will that the Lord gave him at the very start. And so let's turn to the fourth chapter of Song of the second chapter, Song of Solomon. It says, my beloved spake, Song of Solomon 2 in the 10th verse. It says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. The voice of the turtle, I believe it means the turtle dove, is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I have not looked up the deep meanings of everything that is the allegories here. I don't have a perfect understanding of everything that takes place here, but I know that the concept is beautiful. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with our spouses like that. You know, I feel like that we can't, if we have a relationship that is like was mentioned last night, if that's the kind of thing that we seek after, and we seek after it with all our heart, that the Lord will help us find it. But you know, if we find it, I believe we'll have such a much better understanding of how the Lord wants to operate with His church, and how the Lord wants to deal with you and I, the kind of things that He wants to show us, the tender entreaties, that the way, the language that the Lord uses to speak to us, that He wants to us to respond. What's that song that says, "I'll hear thy faintest call"? When the Lord puts His finger on something here and there, He says, I want you to move up here. Or maybe just when we're in our worship times. Have you ever been in your quiet time in the morning? Or maybe you do it in the evening, or I don't know when. And the Word just comes alive to you. And there's passage, maybe there's a passage that you've read many, many times. And maybe the Lord's given you thoughts out of it that are good. But something just happens and your heart nearly explodes. Well, that's the kind of things that the Lord has in store for people that follow Him. It's not a dead book. It's not some sort of a, it's not a dead religion. It's a communion, a two-way dialogue that the Lord wants to have with you and I. I know what I'm talking about. I experience it. It's wonderful. It's something that the Lord wants to do for you and for me. If the Lord, if you do not have that kind of relationship with the Lord, I know we grow. I have lots of growing to do. Everyone in here, if you are pursuing a relationship with the Lord, I want you to know that the Lord pursued the relationship first. But there is always more, more to grow, more depths to get into. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? But it says, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. And then the next verse, and this is my burden this evening. I want to preach by the Lord's help about fences. Because you have to have them to maintain the relationship that the Bible speaks about. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For why? Because our vines have tender grapes. There's something, there's fruit, there's things that we don't want to be stolen from us. In the last verse that we read, the last passage, it says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. There are things that must be done to protect relationships at all levels. And the very best thing that you and I can do in this life is say, I am going to do everything I have to do to maintain what I've got and to get more of it. I'd like to read a couple more scriptures before we really get into our thought here. Psalms 121. First verse. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I don't know how many times this scripture is a great comfort to me. Because there are things that want to destroy my soul. It says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We won't turn there, but in 1 Peter 4 and 19 it says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." You know, there is an enemy out there, but we don't have to be afraid that by some accident, you know, there is a teaching. People say, well, you teach that you can lose your salvation. No, I don't. You can't lose it. You can throw it away, but you can't lose it. The Lord's power is stronger than that. You and I can go with full assurance and confidence and say, I know that I'm saved. I know that the Lord loves me, even if I don't always feel like it. You know, there are some times I do not feel saved. I'm making myself a little vulnerable to you. There are times when the cares of life try to press in upon me. And there are things, maybe I'll hear some bad news. Maybe someone will say something to me and I got to go pray about it. Maybe there will be something that I hear. Maybe there's something on the news that makes me distressed. Maybe I hear something about our country that causes me to be full of trepidation. You know, the Lord has places for us then too. But sometimes we have to take it by faith and say, the Lord saved me. The Lord washed me in His blood. It's not always a cloud nine experience. It is not always a cloud nine experience. The scriptures that we read are those times that we have wonderful communion with the Lord. And I have had those. But there are other times where we go through dry places, valleys. You remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress where he went through a valley. It was so dark. And it was the pathway was only wide enough for him to put one foot in front of the other. And so that's what he did. But he said on one side there was a deep pit and on the other side was a mire. But you know, the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. It's an allegory. It's not a true story. But I believe, I don't know what you think about it, but I believe the Lord inspired that to John Bunyan. And he said that there was an imp came and sat on his shoulder and whispered horrible thoughts. I want you to know that the Bible speaks of the devil as being called the great accuser. The great accuser of the brethren. There are some other attributes about the devil that we're going to read in a little bit. But he can come and he can tell you, you're not saved. You don't have anything. Even if something happened, even if you had a fantastic, a wonderful, a blessed experience with the Lord last week or yesterday, the devil can still come, and I have had him do it, and say, you really don't have anything. It's all in your mind. It's all emotions. The devil's a liar. So, but it says, so we know that when we can be confident that the Lord will keep our souls and that the devil has no power to steal our soul away from us. But you know, there's something we're called to keep as well. Yes. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know what our heart is? It's the seat of our emotion, or the seat of our affections. It is where we decide, this is what I want to do. It's where we make up our mind about the direction that we want to take. And it's where we decide how important things are and where we prioritize things. The heart. Things come out of the heart. And the things that we do in our heart determine what direction we are going to go and what's going to happen to our soul. You know, the Lord's grace is always sufficient. You know, the Lord is able to keep our soul and He will keep our soul. But we have to keep our heart. Thank the Lord He gave us power to do that. We have to choose, though. I want to go to John 10 and the 10th verse. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I look at those as kind of a graduation of steps. He comes to steal from you. If you have something that the Lord gave to you, He wants to take it away. And if He takes it away, He doesn't want to stop there, but He wants to kill you. When he kills you, he doesn't want to just stop there, but he wants to destroy any good that you may have done, any memory. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." There is a heritage, I can't find the right word for it, but there is, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. It talks about a man, a godly man that has children. It said, his quiver, blessed is the man that has a quiver full of children. It talks about a godly man being blessed of the Lord. It said, thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine right around about thy house. Thy children like olive plants around the table. There's blessings all through the Bible that the Lord promises to us, and the devil wants to steal every one of them. When he steals them, he also wants to take your soul, and he wants to take it where he knows he's going to be one day. He wants to destroy any good that you may have ever done in this world. He wants your memory to be erased from the earth in any kind of a good way. He'll want you to be remembered in some notorious way, but not in any good way. Any good that you may have affected on others, any influence that you may have had where you caused someone else, he wants to take that away by what he can help make you to do in your heart. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many thereby be defiled. We'll probably read that again. But since the devil, you see, there are teachings in the world today that when the Lord saves you, that you can never lose your salvation. You know, if that scripture or if that teaching was accurate, there really wouldn't be any meaning to the scripture we just read. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Then Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. All of the things, if you can have any spiritual vision and grasp a hold of the allegories that we read in Song of Solomon, the blessings that the Lord wants to affect in our life, the way He wants to bless our families and our children and our communities because of what He's given to us to be able to bestow on other people through the light that Jesus calls for us to shine through Him, through us, that's His light. If we could realize what the Lord wants to do with our lives, I think we'd build our fences a little higher sometimes. But since the Scripture says the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, it behooves us to figure out how to keep Him from doing that, does it not? So I want to read a few verses in Proverbs. I hope you'll bear with me. We might be doing a little more reading than you're used to. But I believe these scriptures in the Word of God is life. And I want us to understand what the Bible teaches here tonight. Proverbs 2, the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver. Well, how do you do that? You dig, don't you? And it's not all you do. Finding silver, you go out there in that parking lot, I doubt you're going to find any. You have to know where to look for it. You have to dig. You have to bring in equipment. You have to put forth a lot of effort and invest time and resources and knowledge to be able to get silver out of the earth. Then when you find it, you're not going to get it in 100-ounce bars. It's going to come in the form of ore. There's a process to getting what you want, the good things in life. It says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If we go down to the 10th verse, it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Now we are here, We're trying to figure out here how to keep the devil from stealing and killing and destroying us. It says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Then it lists three different things after that. We're not going to take the time to read the rest of the chapter, but I've got these written down. It says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, to deliver thee from the strange woman, and that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Understanding and wisdom. You know what wisdom is? It's knowing what to do and knowing what's important and applying that in a practical way, in a knowledgeable way in our lives. When we know what to do and we do it and we put our priorities where they ought to be, those things, the things that we sought for as silver, those things are going to keep us from the way of the evil man, the way of the strange woman, and that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Who doesn't want to do that? Those things cover, in principle, just about every situation in life. If you want, you know, I had a friend. He passed away. It was someone that I wanted to help. And I believe the Lord put it on my heart to help him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him every day about the Lord, but there were a few times that I had a good opportunity. I would take him fishing. I believe the Lord revealed to me that's what I needed to do. I would take him fishing. I have a little boat, and I'd take him out on the lake in it. And we'd get out there. I remember the first time I did it. We went to the lake, and we were going down the boat ramp, and there were other people there. And there were other people, and some of them, most of them were not dressed very good, and there were some things there, and I knew there's probably some other influences there. And, you know, we live in the world. I mean, we go to Walmart, and we go to these places, and the Lord can teach us how to behave in those environments. You know, these scriptures and Proverbs, too, apply to situations like that. To keep you in those times, to keep the devil from stealing. You know, this man, my eyes were opened that day. Because things, have you ever had somebody tell you don't even know what you know about something? If you know a trade, Brother Danny's family is very adept at mechanics. They probably don't even know. If I was to ask a question, they might be surprised at some of the questions I could ask that I don't know the answer to, and they do. Well, I want us to appreciate, just as a side note, the rich heritage of teaching that has been passed down and taught on these grounds. We have something that is so valuable, and this is part of my burden tonight. I don't want to ever lose the rich anointing and the services that we have here every year. I call this my annual growth ring. Not that I don't grow any other time of the year, but this is 10 days we set aside to come and worship the Lord. You know, it means nothing if all of us are living sinful lives. Do you know that the anointing will not be there anymore if we allow the devil to steal from us that throughout the year and then come and try to manufacture something? But you know, this man, I took him fishing, and we got out of the vehicle and we started getting our boat ready to go down into the water. And it did not take very long at all for me to realize it. I was just following the guidelines that I've been taught and trying to be careful and watch where my eyes went and watch how I speak to people and stuff. You know how it is. The person I was with had no concept, no understanding. And I went and I was having a good time and we were going to go out. We were going to catch some fish. I don't think we caught any or not very many. But it did not take me very long to realize this person could get in a very serious situation very quickly. I had no idea. You know, this is what the Lord wants to teach us. Is that wisdom and knowing what to do and how to keep our hearts and build our fences is going to keep the devil from stealing and killing and destroying. We do not have to worry about just the devil coming and snatching our salvation right out of our soul. But we do have to worry about losing it through either rebellion or neglect. Neglect is when, well, Solomon said, I walked by the field of the slothful. What did he notice about the field? He said, briars covered the face of the garden. And what else? The stone wall was broken down. You know when Nehemiah was called to go repair Jerusalem, what was the very first thing he worked on? It was the wall. What does it say in Psalms 48? Walk about Zion. Consider what? Get acquainted with her walls, her towers, her palaces. Sometimes I think we like to just consider the palaces. And we want to talk about the blessings that we get. And we want to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my... That's wonderful. You know how we do that? By walls. By bulwarks. And I know the Lord sets bulwarks. And He preserves our soul. But we have to look out for our heart. That means that we have to build fences in our lives. Proverbs 4. Excuse me. Proverbs 4 and 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Proverbs 7, I'd like to get that real quick. Proverbs 7 and 1. Says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, as opposed to dying. Because that's exactly what the devil wants to do to every one of us. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. It's going to be more important to me than anything else. I think it was David that said in Psalms 119, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. If we want blessing, I think it was Peter that said, what man is he that loveth good, that loveth life? Who doesn't love life this evening? Who doesn't love good days? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips, that they speak no guile or deceit. There are things that the Lord has given us to keep, not in our own strength, but by His power. See, He gave us everything we need. It says, bind them on thy fingers, Proverbs 7 and 3, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That here it is again, Proverbs 2. Sounds like it anyway, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, that from the stranger that flattereth with her words. And then he gives an example. Maybe we'll read some of it here this evening. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man. What does it say about him? He was void of understanding. Why was he void of understanding? Did he just look out the window and say, I think that guy's void of understanding? No, it was because of what he was doing. Was he committing adultery? No, he wasn't. Not yet. It said, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. That's not all. It was twilight. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Folks, there are things that the Lord has burdened ministers of God with. That it's not spelled out in the Bible in the thing itself. I don't want to offend anyone this evening. I really don't. And it's not my purpose. But I believe the Lord wants us to hear a few things about the devil and what he wants to do. Many years ago, from these pulpits, they preached against using a television in the home. You know, if I were to preach against that now, you don't need one anymore. You got this. You have this. You got computers. You know, they're useful tools. They're very useful tools. I use them for my business. I use them for the Lord's work. They can be used for many other things too. You know, there is territory that when we get on, the Lord will not follow us to those places. Sometimes we say, we try to get, and I've done this too. Is this sin? Is this not sin? Am I going to go to hell if I do this? And we get in debate sometimes. I don't think you'd lose your salvation by doing this. You know, this man in the scripture, it said he passed through the street near her corner and he went the way to her house. There are things that when we get close to, there are influences there that we don't know that they're there before we get there. There are things that are of the, it says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about things that are of the, that are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of God, that if you do not build a fence tonight with you on one side of it and Hollywood on the other, the devil's going to steal from you. I hope that's not too strong. But the scripture talks about the things that defile, that enter into the heart of man. And when we feed on those things and we eat the junk food of the world, and the things that, what is in those things? What is promoted in through Hollywood? What kind of people run that place? I don't think I really need to say a whole lot about it. Well, because we know. Those things, you know, I a few years ago, I don't want to get into trouble here. But a few years ago, I was in a hotel room with a co-worker of mine, and he decided to turn on a show that was supposedly pretty clean. Okay, I'm going to tell you what it was. I love y'all. It was Andy Griffith. Okay, you know what Andy Griffith is? Probably most of you do. Old time stuff. There were things. It did not, and there's probably some shows, some episodes that there's nothing at all in there. But you know, there were subtle influences that were slipped in right there that caused me to say, I want no part of that in my house. I used to have, and I still have some, okay? I've collected old time radio programs through the years. Did you know? I'm not just going to spell out, but there were things that I heard, well, there's nothing wrong with this and there's nothing wrong with that. And I am not here this evening to tell you what you can do and what you can't. But I'm here to warn you that the devil wants to steal from you. And that if you don't keep your fences, he will. And if you don't set up your fences, he will. If you don't have any fences, you're in a very dangerous place tonight. If you have fences that are just high enough where you're kind of free from criticism of the saints or whatever, don't build your fences for those reasons. Build your fences because your vines have tender grapes. It's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. I don't want the little foxes to spoil the tender grapes. I want them to be there for my Lord to harvest. I want them to be there so He can come into His garden and enjoy His pleasant fruits. I don't want to get into a frame of mind where I heard all this stuff and now, and that's what I'm feeding on, and now I'm thinking about this and this over here, and the Lord comes and says, "Where are you? I want to have some communion with you." What I was going to say is, I listened to that. And I started listening to that stuff. And you know, there were subtle influences from those shows themselves that were very impure. If you come to me later, I can give you some examples. I don't want to do it up here. But there are real influences that have been slipped in here and there in the name of good, clean family fun for many, many years. And there are innuendos in those things that suggest adultery and lust and lying and greed and envy and many of the other things that it's talking about, the lust of the flesh. And you can listen to those and see if it's all good, clean family fun, you're going to kind of let down your guard when you're watching it. I don't have a guard up when I listen to Monarch singing. Not really. I don't, okay? You know what I'm saying? But then when we start saying, you know what, I think it's okay, I want to tell you something. A few years ago, I started down a path, and it was through the entertainment world. I started down a path of letting some of those things in. And the Lord, I didn't really understand, okay? I didn't really understand. I started down a path of letting some of those things in. I thought, oh, you know what, this is okay. That's harmless. Yes, I know it's been taught against, but I don't really see anything wrong with it. And the Lord gave me, and if you come to me, I can tell you about it. The Lord gave me a dream that was so forcible on my mind, and it changed. I did 180, and I quit doing that, and I'm so glad I did. You know, what is more important? I want to ask you, if you have a relationship with the Lord and it's real dry and there's nothing there to speak of, then you need some of those entertainments because that's probably about the best you're going to have in life. But if you want something that's rich and you want some, I want to read the verses of a song. I don't want a show of hands. I want you to answer this question and these questions in your heart. We sing these songs. Song number 90. It says, "Tell me, pilgrim, traveling homeward, are you wholly free from sin? Are you flashing light around you? Are you witnessing for Him? Have you made a consecration of yourself and earthly store? Have you died to all but Jesus and His will forevermore?" Do you read the Bible? That's not what it says. It says, do you love to read the Bible? Feel the Spirit's holy fire. Do you measure to its standard? Does each duty you inspire? Do you gladly tell the story of the Savior's wondrous love? How He fills the soul with glory, pure as heaven's light above. I just want to read a few things here. A few more scriptures before we go on. Maybe we won't turn to them. I've got them written down here. Psalms 101 and 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 24th verse says, "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." That does not mean that the Lord wants you to draw back and not witness and be a friend and minister. I took this man out in my boat. But to get into a relationship with Him where He has the power of influence over you. When I was a young person, sometimes I would stay with my Uncle Philip and they had some restrictions about what we could do. And I thought they were ridiculous. I remember going and spending the afternoon with someone who was very rebellious. And my dad came to me and he said, "Why were you with this person?" I said, "Well, he's a nice guy." He said, "I don't want you ever riding in a car alone with him again." And they told me, the counsel that I was given is, yes, the Lord wants you to minister and to be a witness and to be a light. But you know, you really need to be in the majority. Don't go with a group of people that are not like, that are up to no good. Because you'll get a snare to your soul. You'll be the ones that influence them. Get a group of good people together and then invite someone that needs the grace of God in their lives, or one or two of them to come with you. You see, the Lord wants us to build and maintain fences. There is something too, heeding the wisdom of those that say, dress modestly. Be careful what you watch and what you listen to. You know, if you get in a mode, and it's not just about the lust of the eyes or whatever becoming so powerful that it'll be overpowering. That's part of it. But the stuff that you allow to fill your mind and take up your time. Yes. The stuff that, and then you don't have time to spend the time alone with God because you've been on Facebook for too long, or because you've been surfing YouTube videos, which I'm going to tell you something. I use it to figure out stuff, and sometimes somebody will send, but I don't make it a habit to just browse through YouTube. Well, let's watch this video. This is a really highly rated video. I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but I want to tell you, I don't think it's healthy to do that. I think I can back that with Scripture, because there are many things on there that are no good, they're impure, and it takes up time, a lot of time, more time than you think you're going to spend. You say, "I'm only going to be on there for 5 minutes, and it'll take an hour." I know, because I've done that. And the Lord has had to help me. You know, there's a lot tonight. There is a lot of money and effort spent on the sports industry. I'm not going to tell you tonight what my opinion is of what you can do and what you can't. But be ever so careful. There are things in the sports industry and things that you can get addicted to. You can get addicted to watching it, admiring the ones that are good. And who doesn't like to see a good, talented person? I do. But the Bible also says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." How are we going to serve God and give Him our very best if the prevailing thought and the affections on which we set our hearts are to all the idols in the world? Colossians 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection." You see, this is something that you have to do, and you make the choice. The Lord keeps your soul, you keep your heart by the Lord's help. Set your affection on things above. This is what's the most important to me. Does that mean that when I come to camp meeting, I can't... I can't take a nap in the afternoon, no matter how tired I am, because I've got to be in service? You know, people can get to that extreme where they live in such a straitjacket where they feel like they have to pray all the time, and they can't ever get into some humorous conversation. They can't ever spend money on something that's not... You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be that way, because He wants us to have happy, fulfilled lives, and He wants us to minister to those around us. And if you're in that kind of a straitjacket, you're not going to do a very good job. Lord wants us to take people fishing and to take people out to eat and to play those games with our children and with and at family reunions and on weekends and all those kind of things. The Lord wants us to have a very happy, enjoyable life. But you know, the underlying principle behind it all is that we want to please God and we want God to dwell in every heart around us. And so we're going to take them the gospel. And the gospel is not, we already read, the gospel is not dull and dry, and the relationship with the Lord is not dull and dry, and we can have sweet communion with the Lord. So why would we portray to the world that all you can do is just walk around and either go to church or pray or whatever? You know what I'm talking about. The Lord wants us to be joyful and happy with a good attitude. He wants us to be able to overlook those things that happen on the job. What do you say when you smash your finger? What do you think when you smash your finger with a hammer? Let's put it that way. Probably a lot of you don't say the words that because you've been trained not to say them. But what do you think? Do you know it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the things that we think sometimes we keep so carefully hidden will come out. It ruins our testimony. It ruins our communion with God. Everything about it. Folks, the whole reason we have these meetings and the reason that they're so special to us is because I believe that there are people here whose lives are filled with the Spirit of God. And when that ceases to exist, we won't have anything left. I want to also say, when we stop making it important to build our fences, and we say this is indifferent, that's indifferent, this is not a moral issue, it doesn't really matter what you watch, and it doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to, it doesn't matter what kind of way you dress, we are opening the door very wide for the very thing that we hold dear to be obliterated. I don't care to live in a straight jacket. I don't want to. I don't want to live a life of dry crackers, so to speak. That's all I have and all I want to live a fulfilled life. And that's why I put those protections around me. It's not restrictive. It's protective. It's not a straight jacket. It's a protection against the devil who wants to come in and steal things from you and me. I read the verses of that song. Do you love to do all this? You know, I want to ask you, if you are here tonight, I don't want a show of hands again, but if you are here tonight and your experience and you think that all these things are okay, I can immerse myself in the sports world and I can immerse myself in whatever music sounds good to me and I can dress however I want to. I want to ask you, do you have that kind of relationship with God like the song talks about? Do you have victory in your life? Are you able to overcome bitterness when it comes? The communion with the Lord produces those victories. And whenever we tear down our fences or we don't put them up, the devil comes and steals from us. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. I want to read a couple more scriptures tonight. It says, Hebrews 12. You know, I want to just get this real quick. We won't turn to it, but it says in 1 John, second chapter, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, what? He abideth forever. Because the Lord kept his soul. And because he kept his heart, and because of those things, we will one day be ushered into a place where the Lord Jesus himself says, I confess him, he's mine, he's mine. Can you imagine the day when you come into those gates and Jesus says, it's mine, and you think in your heart, it's over, No more temptations ever again. What's the song say? Till all the ransomed church of God are safe to sin no more. I won't ever be tempted again. I won't ever be tempted by the things of this world that really, when we see what heaven's like, we're probably going to wonder why we were ever tempted by that stuff anyway. I do not want you to get the idea that living for God is not about having any fun. We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please. I want to tell you that there is a rich spiritual experience in having communion with God. When you get a hold of those things and when the Word of God becomes alive to you, there are still things that you're going to be able to do that are lawful. Lots of things. But there are things that you're not going to want to do anymore. The desire for those things will wane and fade away altogether because of what... But if you don't have that kind of relationship, then I don't know if you're going to understand why it's important to have these fences and to keep those things out. Because to many people, the flesh, the gratifications of the flesh, it says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you live in such a way where you're allowing your flesh, the things, the passions, to go unrestricted. I want to do this and I want to do that and I think it's okay to enjoy this, but there's really not anything of God in it. There's not any kind of anything that makes you better, that makes you... You know, when I go out in nature, I just stand in awe of what the Lord has done. There are things that He has put that cause me to just... Everything that He has made, everything that... And there are good, clean things that we can do. And the Lord wants us to do them. You know, He speaks to us through those things. And there are other things that if we give our time to them and we open our heart to them and we allow our flesh to be unrestricted, the devil will steal from us. It says in Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. The Lord keeps our soul, doesn't He? But we have to keep our heart. Looking diligently, build your walls. Don't let that stone wall get broken down. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The devil wants to come and steal and kill and destroy. He wants to destroy any influence you may have had. He wants to destroy your soul. He wants to steal from you anything that you may have ever done that was good. There are things that go on. The biggest battleground we will ever face is right here. In our minds, there are prideful thoughts, there are lustful thoughts, there are envious thoughts, and there are greedy thoughts. And there are other types of thoughts. You know that the Lord wants us to build fences in our minds also. It's a lot of work sometimes to do it. But you know, it is so easy sometimes to do something. I'm speaking from personal experience here. It is so easy sometimes to do something. Maybe it's something that you can do well. And you do it and a little voice comes along and says, you know, you really did a good job there. If we could have our eyes opened and see the great forces that are around us right now. And sometimes there's a thought that'll come in, you know, I don't really think that was fair. They should not have done that. I was not treated fairly. That it just is not right. And then we can feel justified and we carry on a little dialogue in our mind and it goes farther and farther. Do you know that this man that we were talking about said he went the way to her house? It was, and we know what happened. He fell. You know, there are temptations that the Lord will just want to, or the devil will just want to weasel in there, just little by little. That wasn't right. He just didn't, and it's fair. I'm right in this. I know what I'm talking, and he hurt me. They hurt me. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat stole his birthright. He had something that was so valuable. Folks, tonight we have something that's valuable. We have the presence of the Lord that can come down and He can anoint our services. He can come down and speak to you and me individually. If He doesn't do that, He's not going to do it in the services. But the Lord wants to commune with us. That's our birthright. The salvation, the heir to the kingdom of God. You and I are heirs. We're kings and we're priests. We're reigning on the earth if we have victory in our lives. If we have been touched by the power of God, we have victory and we are kings and priests. You know, we can sell that for a bowl of whatever. Some bitter thoughts. We can let those things in. If we don't build fences in our minds and say, no, I'm not going to take the glory for that. I'm going to give it to the Lord. Lord, I love you and I don't want to think like that. Help me not to think like that. No, I don't want to. You know what? If I think about this person that's doing wrong, I've had struggles with bitterness before. I don't want to happen again. Lord, help me not to think that way. Help me to build fences in my mind. Help me to build safeguards. You know, the Lord wants us to have safeguards in every area. I want to speak just a moment to the young people. I found my wife here. I knew her, I mean, I don't know really when the first time is I met her because I knew her about all my life. But I courted her here. And many of you, it's a good place to find a companion in the Lord. It's a wonderful place, probably about the best place you could ever imagine to do it. Yes. Keep your fences.
Yes, right.
You know, there are things that you may say, I would never do that. Keep your fences because you'll do more than you think you'll do if you don't keep your fences.
Right.
When you pass by something and you don't steer clear of it, it says avoid it, pass not by. It doesn't just say don't do this, but it says don't go near it. Because there are spirits. If we could see, I started this thought a little bit ago, if we could see the terrific warfare that's going on around us, and thoughts come to us, I want to think about this. This somebody did me wrong, or anything. What if somebody came? What if your eyes were open and you could see out of whose mouth that message came? And it's the devil. The devil himself spoke that to you. You know, the devil doesn't always speak. Everything that he speaks is not just ferocious and terrible. And he'll insert a seed.
Right.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
And you know, that thought might be all true too.
Uh-huh.
It might be right. But it's not what the Lord wants you to think.
Right.
And if we realize and if we could recognize, you know, that thought came from the devil. And I don't care how right it is, and I don't care how just it is. It came from the devil, so I don't know what purpose he's got in it, but I'm not thinking about that. Lord, help me. Get that thing out of here. Lord, help us tonight. I want to encourage you to build walls and to build fences and to maintain those walls and to maintain those fences and not let them get broken down through neglect. And to realize and to embrace and to cherish the relationship with the Lord that you may have. And if you don't have it, well, come get it. Because I want to tell you something. I've lived in sin too. And there are some things about it that are fun. It doesn't last. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't satisfy. And it gets you in a mess where there's really no answer without Jesus. Keep your fences. You pray for me. Amen.